You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. Government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second down. Thought about you. No. Ghetto
who
people.
You gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
I'm running like a rare disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African
this
tradition
call may be recorded
to ask
or transcribed
elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in. I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. And hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must be done, you'll get it done. And you'll do it safely. And that's why we appreciate you and respect you and admire you for your hard, diligent work. Continue to do the work on behalf of our people. It's so desperately needed. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Hit the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. For, of course, the shortcut is babaoshi.net. That's right, babaoshi.net. And you hit that, and there will be African Perspective programs. babaoshi.net. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays from 6 to 8, all times are going to give our Eastern times. From 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then after that, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report. If it's Friday, oh, it is? Well, at 8 p.m. this evening, it's going to be time for an awakening. Time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. this evening on Fridays. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. In fact, if you buy the products off of WeBuyBlack.com, the shipping will be free. So check it out. I'm not sure how much you have to buy, you know, but I'm quite sure you just can't buy one item and it's, you know, less than $20, and it's going to be shipped to you for free. You know better. So go to WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org, Brother Bomani Tahimba. Brother Bomani sent me a lot of good information a
things that are happening. Got to get him on the program real soon. I'll be talking with him. I called him up, and he'll get back to me. I know he's a good brother, man. Still trips upcoming. And everything you need to make a trip of a lifetime is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything is there for you. The next trip upcoming is Tanzania. And that's going to be November 18th through the 29th. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2022, Ghana. And then April 1st through April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2022. Once again, to Ghana. And all trips at this present time are $3,700. That's all you need, brothers and sisters, $3,700. Trip of a lifetime. You make a $400 down payment on that trip. Pay on it whatever how you can, monthly, biweekly, whatever, to pay it off. And then, bam, you're ready to go. And everything on the website is what you need. The information for visas, the information for shots, and so forth. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Or give my good brother Bomani Tayemba a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. I still have Baba Rinoco's information up. I'm going to continue to do that for a while. And I'm going to read something later after these announcements before I go into my presentation today. And great program yesterday on Carl Nelson's show from 4 to 7 on WOL, 1450 AM radio in Washington, D.C. Many people, so many I don't want to rack my brain to try to, at least I can say, Brother Professor Smalls, Tony Browder. Oh, man, I love to hear my good brother from L.A., you know, Brother LeGrand Clegg, who's known Rinoco way back even in the early 70s and so forth. Like I said, that's how I was introduced to Rinoco Rashidi, was through the LeGrand Clegg's When Black Men Ruled the World. And maybe you might be able to find that on YouTube. You know, maybe so. I'll try. You know. And Rinoco has a spot in there where he's talking about different queens and, you know, their impact. Rinoco is dynamic, man. And just, anyway, let's go on. Let's continue. Habashah, Habashah Incorporated, HabashahIncorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work. They're doing the work. Habashah Incorporated, Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, and the Urban Green Jobs. HabashahIncorporated.org. And of course, the Kashi Project that is ongoing right now as we speak in Ghana, West Africa. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Ledge Group, brothers and sisters, they deal with the four areas of human existence. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects actively going on in 6 African countries and 172 employed, and they're looking for more members. They got 260 looking for you. In fact, if you can become a member, you can get land in Tanzania. You can buy an acre of land for $250. That's right. The Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Bibiatumi. Bibiatumi.com. Bibiatumi.com. I'm going to read this on Mondays about Bibiatumi, but I just want to let you know they don't have an event coming up this weekend, but I appreciate Brother Obadale Kamban. I appreciate his family, what they're doing. I appreciate Bibiatumi and what Bibiatumi is about and what he's done greatly. Bibiatumi.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, Georgia, on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from the Soul Veg, down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And, of course, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow, from 1 to 7. Where you can buy books and furniture and clothing and jewelry and the red, black, and green shoes. They also have a Holocaust museum in the Shrine. So check out the Shrine. Also, too, they're partnering with the Universal Negro Improvement Association and the African American Communities League, Division 421 here in Atlanta, for Marcus Garvey Day. Marcus Garvey Commemorative Festival is 12 to 6 next week, Saturday, the 14th. Next week, Saturday, the 14th. And you can contact the Shrine because they have booth space available and vendor space and other products that can be sold for 404-254-5122. That's 404-254-5122. That's Marcus Garvey Day next week. Next weekend, next Saturday, brothers and sisters, coming up quick. With Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar and delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and all kinds of good stuff. Man, they went there last Saturday and they were really busy. Man, they were really busy. It's beautiful, though. That's great. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, is doing great. That store's beautiful. Check her out if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're not, but you're looking for a book, give her a call at 404-346-3263. If she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it for you. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, T-shirts, and all kind of stuff. So check out the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore in Lithonia, that is east of here, Atlanta, like a suburb of Atlanta, Lithonia. And Brother Gazimde Ajamu is the proprietor. And he has done great work with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore of utilizing his space. He has a coffee bar in there now. They serve delicious African coffees as well as teas and so forth, pastries and bean pie. He has books. And give him a call. If he doesn't have the book that you're requesting, believe me, he'll get it as well. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Their brothers and sisters, you know there is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Their Thursday night broadcast last night went well. And on Blog Talk Radio, that's Us Lifting Us. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10. 1 hour. An impactful 1 hour. Every Thursday night. And the number to call, you can call to listen. Or you can call to ask questions, comments, or concerns by dialing, by hitting 1 when you make that call in. So the number to dial is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, Lifting Us. Okay. Okay, here we go. I just got a message here. It kind of like hit me, like threw me off my stride, you know. Once you get a stride going, somebody throw you off your stride. Sun Goddess Sense, the one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall 225. That's right, Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road and in the inside the International Discount Mall at booth 225. Contact my good sister, Shelly Amundsen, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, up in the hills in the rural area. Check out what she's doing by going to Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. SONJAY-HAITI.org. Outstanding work that she's doing, working with the, you know, they deal with education, sustainable on education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. And believe me, it's a beautiful sight. And all those children in little brown and yellow uniforms, and man, it's outstanding. Ackerman Institute, brothers and sisters, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, they have their quarterly meetings tomorrow, August 7th. Baba Baruti's quarterly meeting, chess or checkers? Chess or checkers? What are we playing? Yeah, we playing checkers while we getting checkmated by those who are playing chess. Register. You can register today or even first thing in the morning by making your donation. $10 for warriors and $5 for warriors in training. You can do it through PayPal or Cash App. PayPal is Yah Baruti, Mama Yah. Yah Baruti at Yahoo. Yah Baruti at Yahoo. Cash App is $ Yah, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Include the information, chess or checkers, and then your name and your email address so they can send you the link. Chess or checkers. All right. That's for the brothers. That's for the brothers. Okay. And then for the sisters, choosing to heal. Oh, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. I apologize. Let me go back. Let me go back because I want to get the time. Give you the time. The time is right. And his time is noon to 2 p.m. Noon tomorrow. Noon to 2 p.m. And then Mama Yah, her time is 4 to 6 p.m. 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow for Mama Yah. Okay? And once again, her quarterly meeting, Choosing to Heal. And the information is $10 for adults and $5 for teens, young ladies. And put your name in, the quarterly sister circle, put your name in, your email address so they can send you the link. Okay? All right. Centered. This is a course that is being offered by Baba Baruti. It is offered in the evenings. And so it's $10 per class, but you can pay $45 for the entire course. It's offered in the evening. Centered. You would use PayPal or Cash App and put centered course, your name and your email address, so they can send you the link. And of course, the course is 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's Eastern Time every Wednesday, beginning next week Wednesday. Next week Wednesday. Until this 8th of September. Centered. If you want to get books by Baba Baruti, go to AckermanHouse.com. AckermanHouse.com. Also, too, Baba Baruti offers classes. There are classes. Of course, you know, he has his class, and it's open to students from 4th grade through the 12th grade. And that's for this academic year starting today. Here in Georgia, they start early. They start in September. Excuse me, in August. They start in August. Other places, they start in September. Most, I guess. And it's a Zoom meeting. And but if you want to be a part of the class, contact Baba Baruti or Mama Yah by the phone number 404-753-7237. That's 404. 753-7237 by email. You can go to yahbaruti@yahoo or mmawalimubaruti@yahoo. Okay? And, of course, you can contact Ackerman House in the classes. Start next week. All right. We're moving right along, as the saying goes. Well, that's what we always must do, move right along. You know? The Inye Sasim. The Inye Sasim of daily revolutionary thought. September. Why I keep saying September? I'm just trying to be fast on it, huh? August 5th. August 5th. Don't tell me your theory. Show me your work. Baba Hannibal Afreek. Yeah, that's a definitely a dead quote, because that's how Baba was. Man, I remember meeting him in Chicago. When he was in Chicago before he moved to Mississippi to do great work down in Mississippi. And we're dealing with the area of reparations. And I was, I don't know if I was president of the, I think I was, but I made sure that we got the black firefighters involved in the issue of reparations in the forefront. Don't tell me your theory, show me your work. Baba Hannibal Afreek. The need for councils of frontline elders is abundantly clear. However, given the lack of wise, sound, visionary healing solution processes within even the centered community today, there can be serious confusion over how they should be formed, their responsibilities, and how decisions are to be enforced. Briefly stated, if they are to be effective, at minimum, the following must apply. Number one, potential council members must truly be elders, i.e., each must qualify as a jegna. You must qualify. And what qualifies you as a jegna is not that you say you a jegna, but those who know you, those who you have had experience with, young people who you have worked with. Number two, all elders must be selected by the entirety of the warriors to whom their decisions will apply, i.e., they cannot be self-appointed. Number three, all elders must be fully aware of the range and effectiveness of the decisions they will be charged with making. Number four, according to need, some form of compensation must be accorded the elders, given their age, the economic order we are caught up in, and this work being an additional duty to already overflowing plates. Let me read that again. According to need, some form of compensation must be accorded to the elders, given their age, the economic order we are caught up in, and this work being the additional duty to already overflowing plates. And number five, for any given council, the entirety of the collection of warriors who select them must personally hold themselves accountable for enforcing among themselves and against or for others when appropriate the decision rendered by the council. Something understood in the fact that they chose those whose decisions they would honor. Affirm, my work is guided by the wisdom I can trust. And of course, for the Kigumbu Belezi, which of course we had Sister Miriam and Brother Damani Aquil on the program last week, because we're going through that same process. And the jegnas or the elders, a fine group of men that I'm very honored to be working with to help these young men become real men, become warriors. August 6th, emotions are good servants, but poor masters. Emotions are good servants, but poor masters. A comedic proverb. In times of crises, the warrior's concern should always lie with outcome. And relative to that concern, the conclusions reached about what to do and expect from our people should always be historically and are historically grounded. Wishful thinking will not do, and hope must be intelligent and aware. It cannot be fantasy based on another's whim. This being the case, if the mentality does not change relative to vision, then the outcome will not. And if the mentality is deeply mentalcidal and seeking of Yerugu's validation, if it is one which still truly believes in the sanctity of the reality that they have trumped up to serve their nature and interests, then the outcome will be consistently and progressively worked against us, no matter the awareness or seriousness of the noise rising from within our community. Affirm, my emotions do not use me, I use them. Affirm, my emotions do not use me, I use them. August 7th. An oppressed people whose dreams are dependent upon the illusions they harbor and protect have to contradict themselves and the values which mold their behavior and shape their lives if they are to teach their young that freedom is also concrete, liberation possible, and struggle imperative. The poetess, Mari Evans. When we seek to find external solutions to internal issues, we create crutches. And crutches are more crippling in a warrior's world than any other type of people. They serve no liberating purpose. In fact, they do not. In fact, they do the exact opposite. They work to strengthen the chains that bind. They enable one spiritually. They immobilize one mentally. They deliberate one emotionally. They traumatize the muscles, nerves, and circulation of blood and oxygen throughout one's body. Anything that does not feed the warrior's spirit, especially de-spiritualized things that a warrior clings to because of habit and or it appears to give strength, cripples the warrior. Affirm, my dreams are powerful. Affirm, my dreams are power-filled. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I always want to thank Baba Baruti for what he has done. You know. Let me read this about Baba Rinoko. It's really great. And it was part of the Pan-African Federalist movement that I'm a part of and that I, of course, support. And really, we all should. In fact, we're going to talk about a brother who today is Dr. Shekhanja Jop. He was dead serious about the Federated States of Africa. So we're going to talk about Baba. And he comes in the mode of course, Baba Rinoko came in the mode of Shekhanja Jop because he loved Africa and he loved Africans and he had a belief in African Africans. Rest in power, Rinoko Rashidi by Brother Charles Askele Mitchell. The world African community is in mourning at the loss of this good and great brother, scholar, seeker and prover of truth. Give me a little tongue twisting there, which is not hard for me. All right, as you know, let me read that again. Brother, scholar, seeker, and prover of truth. Rinoko taught us how to fundamentally Africans were to human development everywhere on this planet, and showed us visually. Visual evidence of our presence everywhere on this planet. Rinoko took the mission of J.A. Rogers, Joel Augustus Rogers, author of the multi-volume works of World Africans Men of Color, World Great Men of Color, Sex and Race, as well as From Superman to Man and other great works of J.A. Rogers. And he took that to the next level. When Rogers was only able to provide drawings, you know, illustrations, black and whites and photos at best, Rinoko crossed the world with his camera and brought back full color photos of African people, of black people, black folks in India and Australia, Japan and Cambodia, black folks in the Philippines, China, Kemet, Iraq and Iran, black folks in Europe, early Europe, not modern day immigrants fleeing poverty, but there were discoveries, civilization builders. They were discoverers, civilization builders, educators, governors, church leaders, favorites of kings and queens, and one or two, even kings and queens themselves. Black folks in Mexico, Honduras, Belize, Brazil, black folks in America before they were called the Americas, before a single so-called slave master bastard of Spanish, France, Dutch, Portuguese, German, English, Jewish, Muslims, Catholics, Protestant descendants set foot on the soil of Africa. The Americans or any other Caribbean islands, we were there. We were. And Renoco showed us. He showed us us. Who we really were in the world for all eyes to see. For all eyes to see, right there, right in your face. Bam! Right in your face. At his presentations, adult eyes would open wide with wonder, as wide as those of a child with a new toy. I've seen it, and I felt it myself, Ashe. Hundreds of full-color slides of his travels, and he shared them gleefully, happily, with his beloved African people. And he was humble. Yes, he was. To tell you the truth, I don't think he knew how valuable his contributions truly were, how valuable to us he was. He reminds me of another great man I knew, Professor Edward Scobie, and how both are ancestors. I pray that his good friend, Professor Ivan van Sertima, is waiting at the gates of the African heaven to greet him and usher him into the ballroom where Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Shashi McIntyre, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Dr. Ben, J.A. Rogers, his hero, Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and thousands more African scholars, warriors, heroes, sheroes, were waiting for him to begin the celebration. Renoco Rashidi, may your soul rest in power, my good friend. Ashe, Ashe, Asheo. That's a good piece. That's a very good piece. No doubt about it. I think the Pan-African Federalist Movement and all the brothers and sisters who are in it. Yeah, it's good to hear Brother Sangor. Well, all of them, you know, yesterday on the Carl Nelson show coming out of D.C. was outstanding. Okay. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? I tell you. Dr. Sheikh Anten Jop. Once again, I'm saying this to say that this man, and I've said it on this program so many times, we owe a great debt of gratitude for his genius. Dr. Sheikh Anten Jop, and I think they pronounce it Jop. You'll hear most time people say Diop. Whatever. He and W.E.B. Du Bois were two of the most intellectual giants of the last century, period. I ain't talking about for us. No, I'm talking about period. These two men were the two most intellectual giants of the last century. He was from Senegal. He was an anthropologist, a physicist, a politician who studied human races, origins, and pre-colonial African culture. Though Diop is sometimes referred to as an Afrocentrist, he predates the concept and thus was not himself an African-centric or Afrocentric scholar. However, Diopian thought, as it is called, is paradynamic to Afrocentricity. And not to have any confusion, I believe it's all one. If you believe that African people were here before anybody, if you believe that there's a cultural continuity of African people on the continent of Africa, whether you call yourself African-centered, Afrocentric, whatever you call yourself, but if you believe those things, then of course you are in support of the idea of Africa being what Africa is, the birthplace of humanity. He was born in Senegal. He belongs to the aristocratic Muslim Wolof family in Senegal, where he was educated in traditional Islamic school. Jop's family was part of the Mourid Brotherhood, the only independent Muslim fraternity in Africa, according to Jop. He obtained the colonial equivalent of the Metropolitan French Baccalaureate before moving on. And of course, he went to get his doctorate in France. And that's a very interesting story. That's one of the stories that I heard about Sheikh Anta Diop, that in France, it took him a long time to get his doctorate because he kept bringing information that stated that ancient Kemet was African and there's a cultural continuity of African people. And of course, the Europeans did not want to hear that. They did not want to hear that, but he kept bringing proof. And one of the things that really substantiated where he was coming from, particularly at that symposium, which we're going to talk about, is the melanin dosage test. He helped develop a carbon radio dating laboratory at the university, which is now named in his honor. But the melanin dosage test, I feel, was a smoking gun. There's a brother named Turner Fair and Paulette Fair, his good sister, her husband, Turner Fair, developed a chart and utilizing those African-centered principles. And he talked about Dr. Jop and the 10 things that he said can prove that the ancient Kemetic people were African. You know, phenotype, other historical information, da-da-da. The skeletal remains, because, you know, they can take the skeletons, determine if it's male or female, if it's us or them, whatever. But the melanin dosage test, and they denied him access to them, to the mummies for 30 years. Until finally they had to relent. And so now there is no doubt, there is no question who the ancient Kemetic people were, the ancient, quote, Egyptians were. I don't give a damn still. You know, the arrogance of Europeans, the arrogance of Caucasians, still. If you watch National Geographic, Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, PBS, whatever, still. If they show a dramatization or illustration, still. It's Caucasian. I don't give a damn what you say. I don't care how much proof you got. I say it's this. Only when we solidify or come into unity, whatever the hell they say is moot, because we stand on firm ground of truth and knowledge, righteousness. We stand on that. So I don't give a damn what these lying son of a bitches say. Jop was an African-centered historian, anthropologist, physicist, and politician who studied the human origins pre-colonial Africa. Jop's first work, translated into English, The African Origin of Civilization, Myth or Reality, was published in 1974. It gains a much wider audience of his work. Of course, in 1974 was the symposium. He defined Africa's independence and denounced French colonization that is harmful to the interests of Africans. In 1966, he published a work which will constitute his political platform. One of the books that I Black Africa, you know, he talks about the Federated States of Africa. The Federated States of Africa. Let me play a little introduction before I go on to the other presentation, before our time gets away from me. You know how time can be, brothers and sisters. It'll get away from you. Okay.
Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, a thought leader and philosopher, academic, thinker, anthropologist, and Egyptologist, arguably and the most accomplished writer of African origin on African history. Born in Senegal, 1923, Diop set his path in his late teens by showing interest in anthropological studies. After finishing high school in Senegal, he set his sights on France, where he aimed to obtain a higher education qualification. His first tertiary degree was in philosophy. He later acquired two diplomas in chemistry, after which he shifted his interests towards Egyptian civilization, and in 1952 submitted a doctoral thesis proposal titled, Who Were the Pre-Dynastic Egyptians? Diop is a pioneer in research on the Egyptian pharaonic lineage. His findings on this subject prove that the great Egyptian pharaohs and dynasties who oversaw the building of the pyramids are black people of African origin. His work also touches on great African civilizations, like the likes of the kingdoms of Mali, ruled by the world's wealthiest man, Mansa Musa, or Gongo Musa, and his explorer brother, Abubakari II, Mansa Ku, who was known to have sailed the Americas way before European Christopher Columbus. Diop lectured chemistry and physics whilst continuing with his research on matters of interest. Part of his academic work includes translating Einstein's theory of relativity to his home language of Wolof. Amongst his famous works, Pre-Colonial Black Africa, The African Origin of Civilization, Myth or Reality, Civilization or Barbarism, which is his last published work, as well as Black Africa, The Economic and Cultural Basis for a Federated State, in which he decries the dependency of Africa on Western aid organizations like the IMF and World Bank. He argues that, if utilized to its fullest capacity, the riverbanks of Africa, the Nile, Niger, Limpopo, and Congo, can produce enough food to feed all of Africa and Europe combined. An excerpt in it reads, "It can be said that, until the 15th century, Black Africa never lost its civilization." Diop wrote over 10 books in his lifetime and continues to be one of modern anthropology's greatest brains. A versatile mind, he founded three political parties in Senegal, which played the role of opposition in the West African country. Due to his political activity and pan-African thought, he was arrested in the 1960s. Dr. John Henry Clark, a friend of over 20 years, says, "We have not shown enough appreciation of Sheikh Anta Diop as a thinker," and adds, "I acknowledge Diop as the finest single mind produced in Africa in the 20th century." In honor of his work and legacy, the University of Dakar in Senegal is now named after him. Diop's writings were not without criticism and rejection, because his work contradicted some of the work written by writers of European origin on Africa. But he was brave enough to challenge old historic tales of African history as written by her oppressors. He advocated for the preservation of African languages, and to quote the larger-than-life Sheikh Anta Diop, "European languages must not be considered diamonds displayed under a glass ball, dazzling us with their brilliance." Diop passed away at the age of 62 in 1986.
What a great man. Like I said, he was one of the great minds of the 20th century, one of the greatest. And interesting that we don't understand that, because we don't go outside of what usually is the historical information that is provided by this society, unless you challenge and unless you seek it. And, you know, Sheikh Anta Diop and Dr. Theophile Obenga, who I met at an ASCAC conference way back in Detroit in the might have been the late 80s or early 90s. And has been at ASCAC many times, Dr. Obenga, who was a linguist. He proved that the languages of Africa, whether it's Kemetic, Wolof, Igbo, Hausa, whatever, there's a cultural continuity of African people. Yep, they won the debate. They won the debate. They kept bringing back more information and more information. They won the debate, and UNESCO wrote a history of Africa based on that knowledge, based on that presentation, based on the information that they could provide in three volumes. They won it. Everything should have, from that moment, should have changed. But the hold that the European has, the small amount of people that they have on the planet, they have a serious hold, a gangster ass hold, because they can kill your ass. That's one thing I've always said. One thing about the European, he's always found a better way to kill you. I wouldn't be surprised they killed Jop. I wouldn't be surprised if they killed, I know they killed Francis, the European Jews next door, and, you know, brought her health down. Dr. Amos Wilson, Dr. Bobby Wright. These were men and women who challenged this system, who were totally contrary to anything that these folks could bring. And these folks say, I cannot allow that mentality to spread. I got to control it. I got to keep controlling these folks' minds. That's why I keep saying that they have a vice grip. If you understand and know that tool, once the vice grip is set, you cannot pull it apart. But there's that knob at the end of the handle. By acquiring knowledge of self, by infusing yourself with who you are historically and culturally, by beginning to believe our scholars, our historians, you're releasing the tension on the vice grip until finally it is fully released. And you don't challenge, I don't give a damn about debating Caucasians. To hell with that. They are wrong, and they will not admit to their wrong. I don't give a damn if they ever admit to being wrong. To me, it's useless. What we have to do is move from them. Move from them mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, whatever the case be, kick them to the curb. When I read Baba Baruti, that's what he's saying. Every day I read the Inye Sesim for warriors. That thought is independent. It's just like this program. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. So nothing they say, nothing they do is giving any credibility by us, those who are African-centered. We laid the groundwork for ourselves. And if it is contradictory or contrary to what is being presented by them, so be it. And more than likely it will be, because they are liars. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we will learn more about the Honorable Sheikh Anta Diop. Once again, I know Renoko is a big fan of Dr. Diop and his work. He attributed that work to being the basis for us as African people to embrace Pan-Africanism. So that's what Diop was. He believed that just like those of us who are in the Pan-African Federalist Movement, that Africa should be one. Federated States. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspective here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Funkadelic from their album America Eats Its Young. That was a joyful process. Man, I love that piece. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming on Monday from 6 to 8, all times are Eastern, from 6 to 8 p.m. Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jahal Ahmed. From 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays, from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report. On Friday, at 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, from 4 to 6 on Saturday, Sister Talk with host Wanda Chambers. And then 7 to 9, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. Also, too, if you want to get programs, just go to babaoshi.net. babaoshi.net. Get those programs. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. The Cairo Symposium was just historic on the face of it because of what it did for us as a people. The Cairo Symposium in 1974, UNESCO acknowledges the Egyptians were black. More than 40 years ago, a very significant event happened in Cairo, marked a history of the African historiography. It is the International Conference on Egyptology organized by UNESCO from January 28th through February 3rd, 1974 in Cairo, Egypt. Let us recall briefly this global event unknown to the general public, including the African public. The Cairo Conference was held as part of UNESCO's writing on African history. In other words, UNESCO wrote a lot on African history in several volumes. And at a moment, the question that arose was as follows. Should we classify the history of pharaonic civilizations in the context of African history? Yes or no? And of course, probably at that time, and prior to, no doubt, definitely, it was hell no. That ain't African. Understand something. In Anthony Browder's book, when he talks about James Breasted, who was who created the Oriental Museum in Chicago, which I had a chance to visit many, many years ago, back in the 80s. They had the northern part of Africa was part of the great white race. I can't even pronounce that shit because it ain't real. The great white race, you know. And of course, it was not true. In order to be able to put the pharaonic civilization in the African context, it was necessary to prove scientifically that the pharaonic civilization, by its culture, language, and languages also by its people, belonged to the African world. Why did it have to be proven? This had to be proven because of misrepresentation by Egyptologists. That's one thing that was interesting when I first started learning and reading. They said an Egyptologist is a person who wants to keep the situation as is. They're not looking for the truth. They're romanticizing about the lies. They weren't looking for the truth of Kemet. They were Egyptologists. A Kemetologist seeks the truth. This had to be proven because the misrepresentation by Egyptologists already affect, effective through the construction of several lies. And because of those misrepresentations, there were three schools. The first school, the first and most important one, was a school of Western scholars and experts. According to them, the people were created, who people created the pharaonic civilizations were white people from Europe who had landed in Africa to create the civilization. While tanning and mingling themselves with Africans elements over time. Therefore, according to this school of thought, the pharaonic people had a European white origin and the shades of dark or black skin visible on a pharaonic walls and Medu Netra were only results of race mixing. And they have a picture of Ramesses II played by Yul Brynner in the movie The Ten Commandments. Which of course is very interesting because Diop, Dr. Shekhan Diop, he points to the Ramesses III, the relief on the wall of the four people that were in that particular area. Two were very Africoid, that undeniably, and that was the Nubians or the Cushites and the Egyptians or the Chemites, because they were the same people. They're the same people, you know. The second school of thought of Orientalist researchers, or the specialists of the so-called Oriental civilizations. According to this school, the pharaonic people came from the East to create their civilization on African soil. So these people couldn't create it where they was. They went East. The third and the last school was the one of those who claimed that pharaonic civilization was black, one created by blacks and belonged to the African world. It was the stance embodied by Shekhan Diop and Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, and also the most challenged school of thought by Orientalists and Western scholars who were already broadcasting at the time through their media, as they still do today, all sorts of things to prove that the pharaonic civilization was not African. I'm saying to you, to this very day, the debate was won. They won the debate. It was substantiated. It was proven. It was proven by them. But yet, they still. Yeah, okay. Faced with the situation of the three schools, these three different stances, it was necessary to definitively reach an opinion based on the rigorous and scientific criteria about this question of the pharaonic civilization, which divided the ones and the others. This is why the UNESCO organized the International Conference on Egyptology in Egypt and invited all the great specialists and their delegations to organize a confrontation between all researchers and specialists from all horizons, including Africa, to solve this problem and to put an end to the debate of pharaonic civilization. Dr. Shekhan Diop and Thelophilia Obinga, they were at the conference. They were there. The symposium addressed the topic of the peopling of ancient Kemet and the decipherment of the Myronic script. But the fundamental problem which concerned everyone was, who were the pharaonic people? Were they Africans or not? 20 specialists, 5 observers, and 2 UNESCO representatives from 14 different nations spent many hours and several days on this issue. And he gives a number of specialists and some of the people who were there, you know. And I'm just going to point out, of course, Dr. Shekhan Diop from the University of Senegal in Dakar, and the professor of in the Congo. That's where Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, who was a linguistic, came from the Congo. And they talk about the observers who were there. And that's cool because you want to know who these people are. You know, you want to know. They show them sitting around smoking. Of course, you could, back at that time, you know, prior to the 80s, you could smoke in meetings and so forth. Dr. Diop and Dr. Obinga were the only ones among all participants they were the only ones among all of the participants who were asserting that the Pharaonic civilization was an African civilization, was a black African civilization. There were just two to represent Africa against all the other scholars. To prove that Pharaonic civilization was an African civilization, it was not simply a question of establishing that the Pharaonic people had black skin. It was necessary not to be limited to skin. It was also important to prove that the people used to speak African language, possessed an African culture, traditions, and customs. In order to technically and scientifically prove all those above mentioned, it was significant to rely on many subjects such as archaeology, anthropology, biology, chemistry, geography, linguistics, dating, and many more using the methods of all those areas. It was therefore a work of study and intense research that needed to be done in a scientific battle at a very high level. Indeed, since there were specialists from all over the world, failure was not an option. That's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. I say it all the time. I'll continue. And I always say it. We owe a great debt of gratitude to Dr. Thelafili Obenga and truly Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. At the end of the scientific symposium, the work of Diop and Benga, who said that the Pharaonic civilization is an African civilization, had triumphed. That is why, in a general conclusion of the final report of the conference, it is written that the very detailed preparation of the presentations by Professors Sheikh Anta Diop and Obenga didn't always get an equal feedback despite the clarification set out in the preparatory work documented sent by UNESCO. As a consequence, discussions were not balanced. The people of ancient Kemet and deciphering of the Maronic script. They brought that from UNESCO. In other words, when Diop and Obenga were scientifically demonstrating the black characteristics of Pharaonic civilization to other scholars and experts, the latter could not really challenge their massive and important statements. They couldn't challenge it. They had nothing. Just as Brother Greg Kamathi Carr, stripping them, leaving them buck naked without resources. That's what happened. It has therefore led to unbalanced scientific debates despite the scholars' large number and skills. The final report of the 1974 Cairo conference held by UNESCO. Thanks to the scientific battle led by Dr. Diop and Obenga, it has now been more than 40 years since science definitely proved that the Pharaonic civilization is black African. It has been more than 40 years since science delivered its judgment. Therefore, it has been more than 40 years since the international scientific community knew for sure that the Pharaonic civilization is neither white nor oriental or anything else, but an African civilization, indeed, an African civilization. And all the serious research carried out over time confirms the African identity of the Pharaonic civilization. The conference instruments are still in existence today and are kept. The conference instructions are still in existence today and are kept by UNESCO. By African enemies are deliberately ignoring the existence of the symposium and pretend that it never took place. This is why people, including Africans, ignorantly still continue to ask questions about the origins of the Pharaonic civilization. While this issue has already proved and been proven through science 40 years ago. And in my presentation, I always say that still today, when you turn on the television, brothers and sisters, when you watch National Geographic, the Learning Channel, public, even movies, they had a recent Gods of Egypt with Gerard Butler playing Set, you know, and this other Caucasian dude playing Heru. You know, you had the Exodus with Christian Bale playing Moses. And this Arab-looking dude, Caucasian-looking dude, Arab, playing Ramesses II. You know? If Westerners still continue to lie about the Pharaonic civilization today, the media or its so-called scientific books, documentaries, or so on, it is for reason, not grounded in science or truth. Today, as far as we are concerned, let us remember the conference has a moment when Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, and order triumph over Isfet, disorder, lies, and bad ways, Isfet. Let us celebrate the moment where Dr. Diop and Obinga accomplished a huge task for African historiography. Let us celebrate the moment where only two sons of the continent brilliantly made the land of their ancestors victorious in the world's face. Let us recall this sentence of Diop at that moment. Even today, among all the people on earth, a black person from black Africa can identify on their own in an exhaustive manner the core identity of their culture, which is that of Pharaonic Egypt, so that both cultures can serve as a reciprocal reference system. He is the only one who can still identify him indubitably to the African cultural universe. She feels at home. He does not feel out of place as any other man or woman would be, whether Indo-European or Semitic. The way of the Westerner feels the echo of his ancestors' soul filled today. By reading Carthen's text is the same way the psychology and culture revealed by the Egyptian text identify with the black personality. And African studies will emerge from the victorious circle in which they evolved to find their full meaning and fruitfulness only by moving toward the Nile Valley. Dr. Jopp said, we as African people must study the Nile Valley. That is the greatness of us, but it's all over Africa, but that is the foundation, the greatness of us. Yes, there were civilizations before Kemet. Yes, great civilization before Kemet. But Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith, the pinnacle of African high culture. And that's why it must be celebrated. And that's why it must be celebrated by us. And we must acknowledge it. Let's also remember this recommendation from Osiris Jopp. With equal knowledge, the truth conquers. Train yourself, arm yourself with science to the teeth, and reclaim your cultural heritage. Ashe. Let me read that again. With equal knowledge, the truth conquers. Train yourself, arm yourself with science to the teeth, and reclaim your cultural heritage. And let us pay homage to all African scholars as well as Africans and historians of African ancestry who make science work and who use their science to serve the continent and use their knowledge to serve the black world as Jopp and Obinga did. Ashe. And Rinoco Rashidi. Ashe. Ashe. Asheo. Yeah, brothers and sisters, it is truly an honor to be part of. It's truly an honor to be a part of great men and women of African ancestry and African people today who are African-centered, who believe that we must fight and strive for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. They ain't looking to try to reform Caucasians. They ain't looking to do whatever they can to appease Urugu. No, they understand that if we are to be a people, if we are to survive and continue to be a people, that's what we must do. So I have another piece for us to listen to. what's interesting about this, it's a little small piece, and I'm hoping that you will join the hoping that you will join in and on the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let me note here. Next week, I have two guests. Next week, Wednesday, my guest will be Dr. Umar Johnson. Dr. Umar Johnson has been traveling on the circuit. If you catch YouTube, you've seen him many times, talking on a number of subjects. And getting his Frederick Douglass, Marcus Garvey school together in, I'm not sure where, but we'll find all those things out. So I'm looking forward to talking with him. He's going to be in Wisconsin because he sent me, so those who are listening from Milwaukee, or he's going to be in Kenosha for the first time. So those who are sending me information, there's one flyer he has here. Back in Milwaukee, he'd been in Milwaukee, returned to Milwaukee, the Prince of Pan-Africanism, I love it, and that's going to be on the 21st, August the 21st, you know, we'll talk to him about that, and then, of course, that same day, he'll be in Kenosha, and Kenosha's just right down the road going towards Chicago, south of Milwaukee, right at the Illinois-Wisconsin border. So he'll be in those two places on the 21st. And, of course, he is going to be getting his school together, pumping up interest to for those who want to support him. So, Dr. Umar Johnson will be my guest on Wednesday. Next week, Wednesday. The 11th. And then on Friday the 13th, my guest will be Bashir Muhammad Patah Akanyele. You read some of his articles on Your Black World and other syndications. He is the chairperson of the ASCAC committee in the Northeast. A fine brother, does great work. He traveled with Oshawa Kwesi when Oshawa Kwesi were just leaving and Renoko was coming into Kemet. I mean, just like they were going out, he was coming in. And so we'll talk to him about his travels. We'll talk to him about the importance of Renoko's work. So two guests next week that I'm really happy about. So once again, brothers and sisters, please join us next week. All next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Join us, okay? This is a part of Lester Velt Middleton's work. He interviewed Dr. Sheikh Antijop before he transitioned. This is from 74 or 75. The 80s. And so this is the interview he did. It is, has a young sister interpreting, because, you know, he spoke French in his native Wolof tongue, but he did not speak English, you know, that was just, to me, cool. Everybody thinks he's got to speak English. This is Dr. Sheikh Antijop. I apologize about the you know, they're going to have a countdown. Once again, this is Lester Velt Middleton. As I stated, he did great, great work interviewing some of the greatest scholars of our people. You know, John G. Jackson, Dr. Clark, of course, so many others. So I apologize about the countdown here. That's part of what's happening. But once again, here is Lester Velt Middleton.
Good. Good evening and welcome to the final part of our interview with one of the leading international scholars in the fields of anthropology and Egyptology, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. Dr. Diop, a nuclear physicist, is director of the Radiocarbon Laboratory at the University of Dakar in Senegal. In this segment, Dr. Diop discusses a scheme designed to, well, let's take a look.
This is a picture of the Piltdown Man, and it is to demonstrate to you the lengths to which certain anthropologists have gone to establish their theories. The Piltdown Man was created by a British anthropologist in 1912 by the name of?
Downson,
a geologist, I'm sorry. He was a geologist, Mr. Downson.
Il a fabriqué de toutes pièces ce fossile qui est faux.
He fabricated by piece this fake fossil.
Il l'a enfoui dans les sables du Sussex en Angleterre.
He dug in the dirt in Sussex in England.
Vous voyez bien, regardez bien, vous verrez qu'il a le front haut comme un homme moderne. Il est comme nous. Il a les yeux et un grand front.
Like modern man, he has eyes and he has the forehead as modern man does.
Mais vous voyez, regardez sa mâchoire. Mâchoire est une mâchoire de singe, d'orang-outan, avec les deux canines. Regardez les deux canines, c'est une mâchoire de singe.
You can see that his mandible, I think it's called,
yes,
is that of a monkey.
Yes.
And his canines,
yes,
are that of a monkey.
C'est en 1900, et justement, cet homme, ce spécimen, qui est un faux, avait donné naissance, dans le domaine de l'anthropologie physique, à la théorie des pré-sapiens. C'était pour démontrer que l'homo sapiens est né en Angleterre.
From this fabrication grew a theory called the pre-sapien theory, which was manufactured to establish that this man was the predecessor of modern man.
Yeah, et que donc l'homme est né en Europe.
And that, in fact, man had his origins or was born in Europe.
Et particulièrement en Angleterre.
And especially in England.
Et vous avez ici des défenseurs, je ne sais pas si je peux les citer, mais il y a des anthropologues américains qui ont épousé cette thèse-là et nous savons aujourd'hui qu'elle est fausse.
And there are American anthropologists who took this theory as their own and defended it, and we know today that it is false.
En France aussi, il y a eu des anthropologues qui l'ont défendu et nous savons qu'elle est fausse aujourd'hui.
And in France also there were anthropologists who defended the theory, and of course we now know
alors,
it was false.
Et comment a-t-on su qu'elle est fausse? C'est parce qu'il y a un autre savant anglais de bonne foi, cette fois-ci, qui l'a analysé et qui a démontré sa fausseté.
And we know that it is false, or we learned that it was false by another anthropologist, English anthropologist, who analyzed it and discovered that it was in fact a fake.
C'est le professeur Oakley
qui
travaille au British Museum et qui a démontré la fausseté de ce spécimen en 1954.
It was in 1955 that Professor Oakley, working at the British Museum, analyzed this fossil and discovered it to be false.
Mais vous voyez, pendant près de 50 ans, le mal était déjà fait parce que la communauté scientifique était divisée en deux courants. Un courant défendant la théorie monogénétique et un courant défendant la théorie polygénétique appuyé spécialement sur ce spécimen.
But the bad had already been done. For 50 years, this was the theory that created the clash between the polycentric and the monocentric theories.
Donc, nous voyons quand même qu'il y a des savants de bonne foi, et leur action compense justement celle des autres. Et quand nous les rencontrons aussi, il nous faut les saluer au passage. C'est le cas du savant Oakley dont je viens de vous parler.
So we must give credit to those anthropologists or those scientists who are working with a clear head and a clear idea or objective spirit, and we must note them as we go along, as we must note Professor Oakley in this case.
You have spent much of your life studying the history of the ancient Egyptians. Who were the ancient Egyptians? How did they look?
Voilà, les Égyptiens anciens ressemblaient à cette terre que vous voyez. Voici le premier roi de la terre.
Have the first king of the earth, the very first. And the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, looked like this man.
Cet homme a des traits, si vous voulez, plus, comme nous disons, vous m'aviez dit tout à l'heure de ne pas employer un terme, mais sur le plan scientifique, c'est un terme consacré. En tout cas, il a des traits de la race noire plus marqués que celle de presque tous ceux qui sont ici dans cette salle.
You can see that he has those traits that are associated with the black
feature.
Those features associated with the black race, which are even more pronounced than many of the people here. It was this man who unified the Nile Valley from upper to lower Egypt, and this was 3,300 years before Jesus Christ.
Yes. Je passe donc. Ce que je vais dire avant de passer au suivant, c'est que vous allez le voir donc déjà d'après ses traits et les traits aussi des pharaons qui vont suivre.
You can see by his features and those of the pharaohs and kings that will follow it.
Que les anciens Égyptiens n'étaient pas des blancs qui se seraient devenus progressivement noirs et en perdant leurs traits.
You can see that they were not a people that started as whites and became progressively more black.
Mais que au départ c'était des noirs authentiques qui à la basse époque vont se métisser avec des blancs.
They were instead a black people, an authentic black people, but which never ceased to be blacks.
Donc, attendez, okay. Je dis en un mot. Donc, vous voyez que les anciens Égyptiens étaient des noirs comme tous les autres naturels de l'Afrique, c'est tout.
You can see that the first men, the Egyptians were black men, like black men that you see in Africa now.
Ici, cette reproduction est importante.
This is a very important reproduction.
C'est dans le tombeau de Ramsès III.
This is found in the tomb of Ramses III.
20e dynastie.
The 20th dynasty.
Vous avez le personnage de gauche.
That person on the left.
C'est le type général, donc, représenté par l'artiste égyptien lui-même.
This is the general type represented by the Egyptian artist himself.
Le second, c'est le type général de tous les des Européens, de la race, si vous voulez, de tous les Occidentaux.
And the second person or personage is the general type of all the Europeans.
Yes.
Represented by the artist.
Le troisième, c'est le type général de tous les autres noirs de l'intérieur du continent.
And the third personage is the general type representing all the other groups found at in the interior of the continent.
Of the Africa.
Of the continent of Africa.
Oui. Le quatrième, c'est le type général de tous les Sémites habitant l'Asie.
The fourth personage is the general type of all of the Semites living in that area of Asia.
Ceci est un tableau ethnographique. Voilà les races qui existaient à l'époque, telles que les Égyptiens les ont connues, vues et représentées.
This is
the different races.
The different races represented by the artist, and these are.
That was Sheikh Anta Diop, along with Lester Velt Middleton, interviewing him with the sisters. Providing the interpretation. Once again, brothers and sisters, you must learn who Dr. Diop was because we truly owe him a great debt of gratitude for his sacrifice and his work. Just tremendous. Proving proving once again, even though I agree with you, you know, they're going to continue to put out what they put out. But the bottom line is when we control our narrative, we're going to control it through science, through facts, through knowledge. We're not just going to make up hypotheses and lie. Just like the one lie that you hear about even here in our captivity, where we were here and we were taken from here and then sent to Europe. Man. Brothers and sisters, let's get this conversation going. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. If you're on the queue, like there's so many who are now, hit star twice, and I'll acknowledge you, and let's start the conversation. Hit star twice. Good afternoon, 646. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, 646. Okay. Good afternoon, 404.
Oh, yeah, have a peace to you.
Peace to you, my sister. How you doing, Sister Fool? How are you?
No, this is Queen.
Oh, this is it's Queen Ali.
Queen Lumumba and Kruma.
That's right.
I may be taking on a banger too.
Queen Lumumba. Queen Lumumba. How are you? How have you been?
Oh, I've been okay. I've been well. I've been, dwelling. I've been dwelling in his dwelling. So mm-hmm. I'm okay. I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
It's always good to hear from you. In fact, for a while there, you were one of the constant listeners and engaging in debate. And I loved it.
thank you. And my big ups to you. And my big ups to you, scholar. First of all, I'd like to say much respect to Brother Renoko Rashidi and his work, and to his family,
mm-hmm.
and may he rest in peace and power.
I agree.
And he was a grand contributor to our legacy and to our work.
Yes.
And also I would like to say I've always, and we always should take pleasure and honor in sitting at the feet of the scholars, and sitting at the feet of the scholars and learning and honoring who they were and taking up the scientific scholarship that they have given us. So I thank you for your work. Big Brother, and please continue to do your work.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Lumumba. I'm going to call you, although you're always going to be queen to me, but I'm going to call you Sister Lumumba. Appreciate it. Okay?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, listen, hope you get a chance to listen next week. Next week, Wednesday, I have Dr. Umar Johnson is going to be on the program next week, Wednesday. And then the following Friday, next week, Friday, even though it's Friday the 13th, and I got to do something on Friday the 13th because I've always done it, and the number 13, how important the number 13 is. But I'm going to have Brother Bashir Muhammad Pata Akinyele, brother that you probably have read if you looked at the Black Forum. And so he has done extensive writing. He's a prolific writer. He's an educator out of Newark, New Jersey, and the chairperson of the ASCAC study group.
Oh, yes.
In the Mid-Atlantic. Just an outstanding brother. So I'll have those two gentlemen as presenters next week. In fact, my sister, Sister Lumumba, give me a call after the program, okay?
Will do.
Please
sure
do.
Sure will.
All right. Continue
thank
to listen.
You, Baba.
Oh, thank you. Continue to listen, dear. Peace.
Thank you, Baba. Mm-hmm. All right.
646-646, good afternoon.
Hold on. Hey, let me call you right back.
Call me right back then, Jay. Go ahead. Call me right
all
back.
All right.
All right, brother. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try my best to bring us some more guests in over the periods of time and do some positive things. I'm going to continue to do what I do, you know. I know that this program is not my program. In fact, on this program, I don't give you my opinion because my opinion is profane. What I try to do is present information to you based upon just the information I just provided for you from those researchers, those scholars, those historians, those men and women who without foundation money, grant money, reclaimed, captured, and restored. Hey, Jay. Restored.
Sorry about that, bro. I was texting somebody I had to send some information back to right quick. Hey, listen, man. I see you doing your thing today in honoring your good buddy, Rodoco.
Yes, I am. I'm honoring him by doing a presentation on another great scholar who also fought for us and our identity, and that's Dr. Sheikh Antijop, who won the debate in 1974 in Cairo. He proved that the ancient Kemetic people were African, were black African people. He proved it, but still today, because the Caucasian suffers from cognitive dissonance, they believe they're superior. Ain't a damn thing that we could say or do, even in a symposium covered by the damn world, can prove that, no, I don't believe it. I don't accept it. See?
But, yeah. Well, you know,
the white man don't
believe nobody else's ice is as cold as his.
That's right.
I mean, that's just a historical, that's a historical fact. But yeah, you know, it's funny, man. And I don't know, man, in a sense, I guess I'm conflicted in a way with Diop is everybody just bitches and moan about him marrying that white woman. But, I mean, if you're talking about his scholarship and his work, it's indisputable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, how do you place that into the content of who and what he is? You know, I don't know. I think on this subject matter, I'll pick and choose the work over him, unfortunately, being caught up in the stinking white woman's disease. Okay. You know what I mean? It's been many a men who've been caught up thinking white woman disease. Now, I don't forgive them because in all actuality, they don't bring sugar, honey, iced tea really to the table. I'll give you a perfect example. The Negro that everybody always wants to praise, Harry Belafonte, F him.
Mm-hmm.
Sidney Poitier, F him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A perfect example now, Byron Allen. F him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Byron Allen's married to Caucasian?
Yeah, he got Caucasian in three mutations.
Ain't no surprise to me. That's for damn sure.
I mean, in fact, you know.
Hey, Jay, some people you can see, you know, based upon how they talk and how they present themselves and stuff they do, they married a Caucasian. Yeah.
But he always trying to play the game. Like, he fighting so hard for black people.
Right.
Get the F out of here. You going to leave all of that to the mutation mutts that dog gave birth to and to that dog. And the funny thing about that dog is that dog know how to run his business. So it's not going to be one of those situations where you just passing off the business to a wife who really don't know nothing about it. And it go to waste, or she sell it. You know what I'm saying? Now, more than likely, she ain't going to go out and get a new Black Johnson if that fool croaked before.
Well, you don't know, man. She's
going to go and get another ball of syphilitic pus white man. People kill me.
Well, Jay, you don't know because they say once you go black, you just never go back.
But the question becomes, when you get that rich and you got that much money, you don't go back black. Cut it out.
Unless there is.
Name me a Yorugu, a filthy, stinking dog that had him something black, lost that black thing, and went back to black. I'll give you a minute or two to think of someone.
Well,
give you a perfect example of the reverse. You know, that so-called great model that they talk about, Heidi Klum. She had Brother Seal, an African.
Who?
She left him, and ever since then, all she been with is smut and saltine dog.
No,
man, let's keep it 100.
Hold on, Jay. Who did you
let's
say?
Let's keep it gangster.
Who did you say? Heidi?
Yeah.
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum. Okay, I don't really know. Who was
she
associated with?
She's a model. High-end dog.
Okay.
Sister Abanchu, I think, wanted to come in.
Okay, Sister Lumumba, go ahead.
Yes. I think that we should kind of try and keep the conversation centered. And, you know, people do what they do in their private lives. And that's them. But the contribution and the scholarship that they didn't have to give, you know, they could have went any kind of way they wanted to go. But for me, what is important, most important, is the contribution that they gave back to us. Now, I've heard the word historiology. That's very important because it puts it right where the truth is. Historiology from the Sheikh, and also that he was a nuclear physicist. So that gets right down to the bare beginnings, the cellular level. And he proved about who we are. You know, what he does is, I love the man, and we should love him. And we
let me finish. Okay, go. I'm sorry.
That's you, Baba Oshie.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't think we are elevated enough to keep the focus on the importance of their contribution. We're elevated. We're that kind of a people. Because, you know, we got skeletons. You can't point the fingers, whoever, because, you know, ain't nobody no angels down here. So I believe we should keep the conversation on an elevated level. And where it belongs.
I understand what you're saying, dear sister, and I understand the work that many men and women who have done on our behalf, but have chosen as a compliment or chosen as somebody to be their mate was outside of that community. One can argue, were they truly dedicated to what they've done? There's no doubt about the dedication of what Jop did and the dedication of Frederick Douglass and many others who eventually, Amoco Cabral was married to Caucasian. Kwame Nkrumah was married to a Caucasian. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, could
that's
it be...
That's the context of their time.
I think that's the context of their time.
I'm not missing the point. I think you did miss the point.
Hold on.
Sis, you did miss the point, and I'll tell you quickly how you missed the point.
Okay.
Everything that you said, I agreed with. The thing that you missed was when I said...
Did you think I missed?
Hold on, Sister Lumumba.
Then your argument has validity, but I never said anything in regards to what you're trying to say in regards to Dr. Diop. I said that Dr. Diop was superb. I said that you can't cast him aside for what he's done. He's supposed to be in the position that he's in. I made comment about Harry Belafonte and others, but no, yeah. I will never question Diop in regards to his greatness, his scholarship. And I even said he may be able to get a pass because he married that filthy, stinking, no good white woman.
We already know.
Okay, so I think you understand what I'm saying now. He gets a pass, Diop, Belafonte, and the rest of them. I don't know about that, Queen.
Well, all I'm saying is what I would like to contribute to the conversation is that we are elevated people. And yes, they married outside. They married the very people who are in opposition to us. We know that. We know all of them did. That may be in the context of who they were at that time. And who they may be now, I don't know. But I'm looking at the bigger, you know, I think we're more elevated than to pick at who they married. I think we are. We know who they married.
Well, Queen, I'm sorry to say this to you. I'm sorry to say this to you, my beautiful Queen. You know I love you, but I'm going to say this to you. No, I'm a little petty like that, all right? So it ain't nothing wrong with being petty on certain things, and I'm telling you straight up, I don't respect nobody black who married a filthy, stinking, no good saltine. That's just my politics.
Let me ask you this question. Don't be sorry, that's your stance. You may well be okay. But let me ask you this question. How can you, and it's not personal, how can you say, yeah, it's personal, that you don't respect them? I mean, I may not respect who they married, but I have to give, to me, I have to get, and if we talk about who they marry, we shouldn't, I don't think we should give it all that much energy.
I don't give it that much energy. I just put it into context that it's a disrespect, number one, to their mother, number two, to women like yourself, and number three, to who we are and who we should be culturally. That's my whole thing. You know, a lot of times people don't understand. You understand culture. When you marry somebody, that's a political statement in your action. And whenever you make certain actions, it has to deal with all facets of one life. So me as an African, how can I be an African, understand who my enemy is, who my oppressor is, what this white man has done to African women? How could I ever pick one of their women over one of my own? It's just no type of reality to me. To someone else, it may be, and that's their right. They have that choice. But that don't mean that I ain't going to look at you side-eye. I ain't going to question you. It's just, you know, that's just how I feel. You know, and now, did I come to that position overnight? No. I had to read. I had to study. I had to witness. I had to observe. And I had to ask the ancestors, what do they think and feel? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, hey, that's what the real deal is. See, the problem is a lot of us don't understand what culture is. And once you understand what culture is,
I do understand.
Hold on, Jay. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I'm almost out of time.
We have to close out. 1 minute. And I was where you were. I'm like, well, how can you be so African and marry this Caucasian? How can you do that? But I had to come above. I had to say, yeah, okay. And when you marry outside of your race, you actually do lose a part of your culture. You actually do. And I know that. But I had to come above that and look at the man or the woman. So that's just, I understand. Thank you very much, and great conversation.
Thank you.
Great discussion.
Thank you, Sister Luma. Thank you, Brother Jay. Appreciate y'all. Love y'all. As you know, I'm running out of time and got to go. And so I want to say this. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Hope to see you on Monday.